Welcome to the Brian Beebe Half Hour Variety Hour. It's really 15 minutes of fun, music, and laughter stretched out into something much, much longer. And now, here's your host, Brian Beebe.
That's a good take, man. Yeah. I love you more today than yesterday, but not as much as tomorrow. Hey, it's Brian Beebe here. Once again, on MadisonTalks.com, it's 3 p.m. Wednesday. That's our time until the next time they change it. I just went and lost half my headphones here, man.
Jiggle the cord.
Is that what the high-tech version of that repair is?
Create intermittent contact with the leads.
Which one is it? I lost the whole thing, man. You jiggle it. Anyway, hello. Maybe it came out. I got such a tangle of cords down here. I have no idea which one.
Try the other phones.
Other phones, he's in. These, right here.
Perfect.
Hello. Are we there? Yeah.
So much better.
Yeah. Maybe it's me. Maybe my ear is just not working on that side. Anyway, it's Brian Beebe here. Brought to you once again by Sorrento's at the Wilderness, fabulous Italian restaurant up in Wisconsin Dells, where I play four nights a week, 7 to 10. And we're also brought to you by Monk's Bar and Grill. And somebody said, and it wasn't Monk's, that maybe I should talk a little bit more about what kind of a place Monk's is. Most people in Wisconsin know Monk's as a... did I turn these up a little bit? Huh? As a place where families go and guys go for sports. And it's great food. They were started in the Dells with legendary burgers. And then they've spread to six locations in Wisconsin where they have all kinds of different wonderful food. Family stuff. Easy food. Reubens, delicious Reubens and Cubans, and great sandwiches. No steaks or anything like that. You get a basket of chicken strips or something, but that's not the kind of place it is. But they got great, they'll have 150, 200 TVs in every restaurant. No, not that many, but a lot. And it's all about sports. You can watch whatever you feel like. But in Wisconsin Dells, they built a number of years ago, 10, 15 years ago, that they dug the basement 20 foot deep and put in a great theater, you know, really high ceilings. And it has a super stage and built-in sound and lights for that are tuned to the room just perfectly. And they have concerts down there. Last year, I helped... booked some shows for the Stevens Point Brewery concert series at Monk's. And this year, I haven't done anything, but we do have my old friend Robin Zander coming back in January for two shows, a Friday night and a Saturday night show, and first weekend in January. Now, I'll tell you again about this as we go along. But this will be the fourth year he's been here, and we've had five shows with him. They each one have sold out very quickly. Last year, I don't know if it's growing or what, but this year, my friend at Monk's, Dan Collar, put something on Facebook or an email or something just yesterday, first one yesterday, and both of those shows are half sold out already, and it's not till January.
That's great.
Yeah, and it's not a cheap one. It's not one of those $30-$40 shows either. It's it costs to go to this show, and some lots and lots of people sign up for both, buy tickets for both nights. They'll come in from out of state and get themselves a room at the Wilderness or someplace nearby and come to both shows.
Never know, might play a different song.
Yeah, well, he does. Yeah. He does play. We make a point of doing a whole different show Saturday from the show on Friday.
Oh, that's cool.
Of course, he has to do, each night he plays, he has to do I Want You to Want Me and Surrender and The Flame and Voices. But he doesn't, everything else is quite different. And I join him for a few songs at the end of the show. And even our songs are different each night. So, I mean, it's like Robin and I played together years ago, and we did, I don't know, the first couple of years we did 6 hours a night, six nights a week.
Whoa.
So we had to have a lot of songs very quickly. We had a lot of songs. And I haven't forgotten any of them. I haven't forgotten hardly any of those songs. So we have a lot to draw on for our little part of it near the end of the concert too. But that's at Monk's at the Wilderness. And if you are interested in tickets or information, you will email dan.collar, like your collar on your shirt, C-O-L-L-A-R. Don't forget the dot. Dan.collar at Monk's Bar and Grill, all one word, .com. I'd give you a cell phone number, but I don't think you'll need to give that out this year. It's going to sell out very quickly. And so if you're interested in going to that show, and it's fabulous, you can get it with or without the VIP food that comes with the VIP. VIP ticket comes with a fabulous food and I think a drink ticket or two. So, and you know what else? It's really cool about these shows. If you call in and you buy tickets and reserve a table for 402 or whatever, the ticket is printed with a picture of Robin, the date of the show, and your name. So it's a commemorative ticket so that you can keep it as a souvenir of these shows. And I've told you before about these shows, but he actually performs for an hour with his son, who plays fabulous guitar and piano, which Robin needs because he plays okay piano and guitar. But anyway, he does an hour. They take a little 20-minute intermission. They do another hour, and then he goes out in the crowd for, I shouldn't say this because maybe this time he won't, but and I don't want anybody to be let down if he doesn't, but because I wouldn't do this if it was me. He waded out into the crowd and had a meet and greet with all 200 people that were there and took pictures and signed things, and it was a fabulous show. If you have any opportunity to go Friday, January 5th, or Saturday, January 6th, you got to see this show. You might be a mild Cheap Trick fan or a mild Robin Zander fan, but it's still an incredible show. The feel, the up-close and personal feel with a guy in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame doesn't come along all the time. You know, so dan.collar at monksbarandgrill.com. MonksBarandGrill, all one word, Monk's Bar and Grill. Today, I thought we would talk about a couple of things. I meant to scare everybody into getting quick about these tickets for the Robin Show, and I think I've done that sufficiently. I was going to talk a little bit about ASCAP and BMI. Everybody seems to know or have seen these abbreviations. What do they call them when they're, what do they call it?
Acronyms.
Acronyms, yes. And ASCAP is American Society of Composers, Authors, and Publishers.
Publishers, yeah.
And BMI is Beechwood Music Incorporated. And then there's also SESAC, kind of a minor one. But organizations do is they go around and charge places that use music commercially. You know, songwriters, basically they represent songwriters and publishers, because if a songwriter, this is an archaic thing now because everybody seems to get their music free from the internet, but BMI and ASCAP go around and charge places that use music commercially, like a bar or a restaurant. Any place that has a jukebox or live music or anything usually pays a pretty decent chunk of money towards one of these organizations. And then ASCAP and BMI have a formula. They'll list all of the members. ASCAP will have different guys than BMI. Sometimes people will be in both. But here they'll have a list of all their members. And the ones who have the most popular songs, the ones that are being used by everybody, will be at the top of the list, at the top of the food chain. And they have a formula that gives everybody a chunk of that dollar that they bring in from radio play and computer, what do they call it? Pandora and those places on the pay plenty to these organizations because they want to use the music unencumbered. They charge their people $10 or $20 a month for Pandora, and then Pandora will pay to use these songs. But the formula is, like, for example, now, I used to say, you know, here's a song that's still on all the time on oldies radio and country bands and in bars, and they're still playing Proud Mary. That worn-out, you know, tin-ear tune is still earning money for John Fogerty, you know, because it gets played. It gets played. It has to be in the formula. He has to get... Artists need to get paid for their creations. Don't you agree?
Yes.
All right. if they're not creating much, maybe they don't. But even when rappers used to sample records, they had to pay. They had to get permission.
Supposed to.
They had to get permission from the artists that they sampled. But then they had to pay. You know, and usually there was a financial deal. Anyway, the songwriters, I remember hearing back in the days of Saturday Night Fever when the Bee Gees were on every minute of every day someplace in the world with Stayin' Alive and More Than a Woman and all these huge, huge hits from Saturday Night Fever. I heard that they were making $1 million a day.
I believe
on
it.
Radio play alone.
I believe it.
No, I'm sorry. It was 1 million plays a day. I don't know what the dollar figure was. They got played on the radio 1 million times a day across the world. You know, at all the different places, and so they made a ton of money. They might have made more from radio play and BMI and ASCAP than they did from actual record sales. I don't know what they made, but it was a ton. And it wouldn't have happened without these organizations being out there to collect from users of music. Muzak, you know, in the elevator and all that. Think of all the different places that you hear music. It's overhead at Walmart or in a casino or, you know, it's... And they pay to use that music, and the songwriters get something. It might not be enough, depending on... But it's like the Vegas guys, when they make up a line for football, they're not far wrong. And I would say ASCAP really is pretty good at guessing keeping track of whose songs get played most. You know, if the Beatles are on the radio, they're getting a ton of money from ASCAP and BMI, you know, because they get played, and it's so many years ago, you know. Call in today, everybody, 210-1667, and ask anything. I got the keyboard here, so if you want to ask for a song, let's do that. If you want to comment about about the Robin Zander show. I was also going to tell you, maybe after the break, we're going to have a break pretty quick, but the Miles Nielsen's band, the Rusted Hearts, that's Rick Nielsen's son's band, and they're doing really, really well. They're coming to the Dells late this month, and there's only a handful of tickets, literally a handful of tickets, for his show at Monk's, but it's worth seeing. I'll tell you what about that band and some fun things about it when we get back from the break. I'm hoping Mike will play me some of my favorite 60s tunes that I shot his way. Or Baby It's You, do you still have that one, man? Oh yeah, we had the Motown show a couple of weeks ago. All right, man, we'll be right back. Brian Beebe on MadisonTalks.com.
MadisonTalks.com is the home of Madison's most creative talk radio. If you have a serious gift of gab, you have stories to share, political, social, or religious positions to express, contact Madison Talks to have your own 60-minute weekly podcast recorded and posted for the world to hear. Have a new book to promote? Madison Talks is the ideal place to promote it. Fly solo or line up guests for your weekly live talk session. When your 60-minute program is finished live streaming, it'll be posted as a podcast to MadisonTalks.com for listening 24/7. Take your message to the world with MadisonTalks.com. Call 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. That's 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. MadisonTalks.com, looking for your creative commentary. You're listening to MadisonTalks.com, stimulating conversation on a variety of subjects and issues that matter. Share your questions, comments, or answers with us at 608-210-1667. Now here's your host on MadisonTalks.com.
Papa John Phillips, man. On a winter's day, I'd be safe and warm if I was in L.A. California dreaming on such a winter's day. Mike, we're back. Brian Beebe, brought to you once again by Monk's Bar and Grill, Sorrento's at the Wilderness, and MadisonTalks.com. You just played that great Mamas and the Papas tune, and I got to tell you about this concert. You'll love this story. Somebody on the phone?
No, Maureen wants to hear It Had to Be You sometime.
Oh,
you can tell your story.
Okay, though. All right. Yeah. Well, thank you for calling, Maureen, and I will definitely do that. A number of years ago, when Papa John was totally ruined with his drug problems, and Mackenzie Phillips, his daughter, was equally ruined, there was a little tiny bar on Anna Maria Island in Florida where I lived and worked. And they cleared out all the tables and chairs and put in like bench seating to make 100 seats in this tiny bar. They made 60 regular seats into 100 seats with bench seating and stuff. And that night, for $10 at the door, we saw Papa John Phillips, his daughter Mackenzie sang all the Michelle Phillips parts. And then Cass Elliott was Spanky McFarlane, who sang with Spanky and Our Gang. Sunday will never be the same. And Scott McKenzie, who sang, if you're going to San Francisco, sang the Denny parts. So you had all four of these disparate artists in this doing the Mamas and the Papas, but you also got to hear Scott McKenzie's songs and
of course
and
that's awesome.
Yeah. Spanky McFarlane's songs for $10 in a tiny little bar. What the heck was going on there? I mean, I know that the guy and Papa John was a friends of the manager of the bar, but they couldn't have made more than $1,000 at the door, you know. So
did it for the love,
and I tell you, we gave them love, and it was fabulous. I'll never forget that show. Mackenzie's not particularly a great singer, but Spanky McFarlane made up for it, and so did Scott McKenzie. Did a really good job on those Denny, what's his name parts, and those songs are so wonderful for people my age anyway. So it couldn't go wrong. But anyway, we're back. I was also going to talk about, I'm going to do a couple songs that have been requested. Had to Be You is one for Maureen. And I was also going to talk a little bit about karaoke. Mike Brockfeld in the control room is a musician too, and a tech guru, and he likes to play and play out. And what was it, 25 years ago that karaoke started? And it started out as a way for two or three drunk girls to get up and have a serious giggle, you know, getting silly loose and then laughing at other people getting up there and being silly and doing songs and doing them not very well. That was the fun of karaoke at the beginning.
At the start.
It was about getting a couple of drinks in you and doing something you wouldn't do if you were sober, and hoping for the best. You really wanted, if you went up there by yourself, you wanted to sound good.
Yeah, yeah.
And you get up there and you don't know a thing about it. See, karaoke guys can actually change the key to suit your voice if they know enough about their equipment to do it, you know. But if they don't, and you get up there and the song comes out and it's too high for you, and you start singing it down here like this because you can't hit those notes, you know, it's just not going to sound good. You're not going to be happy with the way you sound. And you go sit down. Maybe you sign up for another song, whatever. But then it became something else. Over the next 20 years, 15, 20 years, it became more of a kind of a format where people who dreamed of being great singers would come and request their favorite powerful song that they sing really good and sit there fidgeting and being rude to the other singers until their name was called and they could get up and do their fabulous version of that Patsy Cline song or something, you know. And it was just all wrong. And I can remember a lot of times of being in a place where it would be midnight on a Saturday and some guy would be up there going, and now the end is near, and so off. And it should have been, you know, some kind of Jesse's Girl or some, you know.
Love Hurts.
Yeah, come on. We're not supposed to have that at midnight on a Saturday night. It's the karaoke host's fault, too, because he shouldn't allow that to happen. It's supposed to be the bar, you know, having something fun for the, what about the listeners, ones that don't sing? They have to have fun or they're leaving, you know. And so he's supposed to weed through these ones. And quite often the guys who do it all the time in a certain town will know the ones who will drag the whole thing down. And they do limit them, you know. And but they sign up, and there might be a log, there might be a notebook, and you sign your name, and you can see that there's only four singers in front of you, you know, and if four singers go by and you're not next, sometimes you get a little pissed off at the guy. But it's the way it is. And I would be a great karaoke host. First of all,
I
know a lot of songs that I could sing. And when I do karaoke, and I have done it a few times, it's fun for me to do a song that I know, but I haven't memorized all the words or something, you know. So now that I get to look at the words and do a song that I don't get to do, you know. Yeah. So that's fun for me. And when I'm hosting, and I have done that for friends that own bars, I can sing quite a lot of songs between if there's nobody signed up. The only problem is lots of people won't sign up if I'm singing because they don't want to get up there and compete with what I'm doing. Yeah, yeah. So it that slows it down too, but it sure is fun. And I invite people to get up if they want to get up, and I'll help them. You know, so let's say they want to get up and do a song, but they don't know it that good, you know, or something. And then I'll get in there and help them and encourage them.
The sandy parts in summer nights.
Yeah, no, I would let them have that song. I'm sorry. As much as I like Olivia Newton-John and I like the show Grease, I think I would let them go ahead and sing that one. Summer nights. Oh my God, John. John Travolta is not a bad singer, a great dancer. Anyway, so karaoke has evolved into something. But musicians, and Mike can back me up on this, have been, for the longest time, have felt displaced by karaoke. Because they used to play in a place, a guy would do a solo for $200, let's say, and suddenly karaoke's in there. Yeah. For $100 or $150, and the guy's spinning records, or you know, playing his computer, and people are singing, and it's fun all of a sudden. And the guy that was sitting there for $200 probably wasn't fun. I don't know. It's very rare that
background music.
Yes, yeah. These solo guys, they want to get paid for sitting there and not having any eye contact with the crowd, and playing songs that they want to play, regardless of what the audience might be responding to or not responding to. You know, it's tough.
Yeah, there's venues for that, for original music.
Yeah, coffee houses worked. I mean, I played a lot of coffee houses when I was a kid, you know. But we still wanted to make the audience have fun. That was just basic in what I started out wanting to do. Somebody on the phone? Who is it, Mike?
We got Ed on the line.
Ed who? Ed. Hello, Ed.
Ed McMahon, you're correct, sir.
Ed McMahon. Thank God for Ed McMahon calling in. It's been kind of lonely. I was running out of stuff to talk about. Now I got you.
Well, you've won. I wanted to let you know you have won the Publisher's Clearinghouse sweepstakes. All you need to do is give me your Social Security number and your credit card number with the highest limit over the podcast.
Over the phone, yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. The one with the highest limit is
yes.
Is $10 all right?
Fine. that'll get me to the next bus station.
Yeah, Ed Legg, the Capital
Yes,
Times newspaper reporter that has been so kind to me over the years is on the phone, and I slipped into the Kilbourne Public Library last night in downtown Wisconsin Dells and saw an artist presenting his rock and roll art, and it was Ed Legg.
Yes.
That was cool.
You're correct, sir.
That was cool, man.
Thank you very much. Thank you for coming. You asked a lot of good questions.
I was, I know you didn't really want my questions, but nobody
else. Yes, I did.
Only that one guy was asking some, and then Jesse said something. I didn't know if you wanted
and maybe you just wanted to get the hell out of there too, and you didn't want any questions, but I asked you a couple. Hey, when I got here today, I was telling Mike about your show, and the guitar day in Waukesha that you decorated these huge guitars and.
Yes, sir.
That was a surprise to me, man. You're a drummer.
You know what? Guitars are just so much more. There's something about them, and this has been the case ever since I read the story in Rolling Stone about Les Paul in 1975. And I actually had that issue in that box that I had at my talk.
Oh,
where
yeah?
They explained who Les Paul was, and I mean, the guitar is such a, you know, it's such an interesting looking instrument. And then the more I've learned about, you know, the difference in electric and, you know, it is the rock is the guitar based music, but you're right. I do have a drum set idea in mind, but they do take up more room and it's going to be hard to hang it, but I do have an idea
and
for a couple.
Yeah. They're hard to move around too.
Oh, they are
heavy. And I always felt bad for the drummer, but not bad enough to stay around and help him pack up his stuff. Do you know what I mean?
You know, I've never toted an amplifier for that very reason.
Yeah, I can remember a lot of times the drummer would be there long after the rest of us said, well, hey, thanks, great gig, everybody. Thanks a lot, see ya. And he'd just be folding up his stands and putting the cymbals in. I know. But
very true.
That's because you're maniacs for even wanting to play the drums. That's the thing. So you have to pay to play.
You are correct, sir.
But anyway, did you ever read the thing I wrote about the Britons and Les Paul?
No.
Oh, I'll send it to
Where
you.
Where is it?
Well, I wrote about Les Paul inventing multi-track recording.
Yes.
And how the Beatles used it. And how it has evolved into what the Britons do.
Are you serious? Really?
No, it's really kind of an interesting piece. If you haven't read it, I'll send it to you for sure.
Oh, is it on your Facebook? But yes, send it, please.
I don't remember. If it is, it's it's buried under a zillion posts from people I don't know.
Well, that would be a good answer. If they come back again next year, we could maybe do a story on that from the standpoint of a local musical genius.
Did you interview them when they came last year?
I interviewed one of them, and I interviewed the one that was playing. You know, we had a dueling Beatles group, and I can't remember the other one what they were called. But they were earlier in the year.
Oh, okay.
And then I interviewed one of the Britons too, the same time, and that was very interesting. I mean, it's fascinating just the whole what they do. Those bands do.
Yeah, and I wanted to make sure that people knew that what they do, is not just, you know, four guys set up over in the corner playing their favorite Beatles songs. I mean, it's a show with costume changes and special effects that cause them to sound just like the record, even though they're playing. You know, they're really playing.
Wow.
It's not pre-recorded.
Wow.
But
yes.
But the Les Paul stuff that you shared last night was, I'd forgotten he was from Waukesha, to tell you the truth.
He is buried there next to his dear beloved mother.
Oh, no kidding.
That is correct. He, Mary Ford, I think he was married to Mary Ford, who was a performer too, right?
Yeah, and they made records together. They played together a lot more than he and Judy Garland did.
Right. And I don't know where she. In fact, there is one of the Les Pauls I did in Waukesha has one of their albums on it.
Oh, fun! Yeah.
Has her, but she. I don't know how that. I mean, if they were married, they weren't. They did get a divorce.
Yeah.
I mean, I think.
Yeah, it didn't last.
But yes, but he ended up. You know, he also lived in New Jersey.
Okay.
I guess. So there's like a. Some sort of, because that, you know, he came into New York and played every Monday night for years in New York City.
Yeah,
but,
he's a fabulous player to this
really?
Day. And you said he was still playing, huh?
Yes, and he was playing a Les Paul with what they call P90 pickups, which are the thinner, you know, the not the humbuckers, but the other kind. And So it's very jazzy.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, very old-fashioned, exactly.
Uh-huh.
And it didn't look like a normal Les Paul either, the guitar.
No, and Les Paul, you mentioned Les Paul Jr. Did he really had a son named Les Paul Jr., huh?
He did. I don't remember if he was a son of Mary Ford too or somebody else, but he looks like he's probably pushing 70 or older.
Just a minute.
Les Paul Jr.
Just a minute.
Yes.
Ed, Mike was going to chime in about the guitar pickups, I think.
Go ahead, Mike.
What were you going to say about
the
pickups?
Rock. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's
the P90s
rock.
The old ones?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, big
the
time.
Old ones.
Yes.
I play Les Paul.
Do you remember?
Love it.
Les Paul.
Oh, do you?
Les
yeah,
Paul can be this size or this size or this size, too. You know, Les Paul Jr., it wasn't... Mike, wasn't the SG originally called a Les
yes.
Paul Jr.?
Yes, the original Les Paul.
Yes, it was.
A double cutaway, a totally different body style. And then there was a Melody Maker that was a single cutaway that was, I think it was a little smaller and called a Les Paul Jr. at one time, too. So it took a while for them to decide that this was the classic Les Paul style and it would stay that way for... I mean, imagine how many guitars have been made, and by other companies that have that same look, that Korean companies and stuff that make guitars that are shaped just like a Les Paul, you know. And I never, to tell you the truth, I never could afford the really name brand stuff when I was coming up, you know, because I had other expensive problems.
And, amen, brother.
And I never souped up my car. In fact, I couldn't even keep the car I had in good repair because I was buying guitars and microphones. And I'll tell you a story that's going to make both of you sick.
Bring it on.
Ready? Get the puke bags.
It's going to hurt.
Years ago, a bartender had an old amp and a mic and a stand and an electric guitar that he sold me for $100. This is a long time ago.
Yeah.
And it was a Gretsch double cutaway, a semi-solid body guitar. And I gave the amp and the microphone stand away before this, but I had kept that guitar. And one time, Robin and I needed to get gas in the truck to go up to Eau Claire to play. And I sold that guitar for $15.
Oh, no.
Oh!
And then back in 1973, when I went over to Scotland for the first time, I went down to London and looked in the window of this guitar store in London, and it was selling for like £165, which at the time like $3 and something.
Yeah.
It was like a $600 or $700 guitar. That's $15 for gas.
Crazy.
Well, I didn't know. And I wasn't playing electric guitar then, so what?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just baggage. It was $15 worth of baggage. And we got the gas together and we got up to the gig and what fun we had. It was at least $15 worth of fun.
Well, you know, Brian, I still look at a drum set as, can this be thrown down a flight of stairs in a hurry?
In the cases or without the cases?
Without the cases, of course. Or could I jump in a canal in it and paddle away?
Ed, you've got to get in here and do a podcast.
I will.
And you know what?
I gotta get some money. I need a front. I need some. You know, I need a couple of handlers, but I'll work on it.
And I promise, if you want me to, I will be your in studio guest.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, and I'll do the. I'll do the. You are correct, sir.
Well.
Occasional Budweiser and Alpo ads and Publishers Clearinghouse. Ed McMahon.
Oh.
I will be your Ed McMahon.
He was very reassuring, as are you, and as was your presence last night.
You know,
Brian, let me ask you this, Brian. Do you know how it is when you're in front of an audience and they're just staring at you?
No, I really don't. Of course I do. But you weren't entertaining, you were informing,
right.
So that's the way they should look.
Well, and I kept asking my wife, I mean, afterwards I kept saying to my wife, I mean, you just had this serious look on your face. And she said, I was listening to you, and I, of course, didn't recognize that look.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah.
Yes.
You'd never seen that before in all those years of marriage, I know. Right?
But there you go. And, I mean, everybody looks serious. I'm like, do they really hate this or what? Because you do. I've had that experience on the band shell too, or on the bandstand, you know, where the audience is almost like, I mean, that I can't say necessarily hostility, but definitely moving in that direction.
I like to use the joke occasionally if I do run into something like that. It's like an oil painting of a crowd. It's not really a crowd.
Yeah.
It's like an oil painting of a crowd. Say, okay, roll in the new crowd, you know, just like this, and just get these guys out of here. Then they understand that they're supposed to be doing something more than
move your arms a little.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe breathe. Maybe just, you know, show some sign of breathing.
Hey, Ed, if you ever do this again, you know what's a pretty powerful way to get a response or get some attention from people who aren't paying attention? Is to stop completely. Just all of a sudden there's silence, you know, and now they're thinking, what's going on here? And they look over to see what's going on, and now you have their attention. So
that is interesting. Have you done it? Have you tried it?
I've done it a lot.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like
keep pouring forth your information, or in my case, your music, and you don't stop, and you just keep going. That becomes monotonous and the same to them all the time. So when you stop completely and there's silence, you have their attention back.
That is really smart. That makes a lot of sense.
Ed, I gotta go to a break, and then I'm gonna play a few songs for these girls that have requested some stuff. And
good.
And I really hope I want to lean on you to make sure you get in here and do a podcast.
I will. You know what, I'll start working on it. I have a potential sponsor, so I'll start working on them. And I will say this, I just saw somebody dive from a motorboat into the Wisconsin River in the Upper Dalles.
Oh, no. Are you
No, they're okay. Oh. They're jumping on a...
Oh, dive. I thought you said die.
No,
you said
no.
Die. So somebody died.
I wouldn't have been so jolly about that.
Yeah, I didn't think so. Dive.
I'll get to...
Hey, how much long is your artwork going to be in the library?
At least through the end of August, and maybe a little longer. And I'm doing a little kitty thing this weekend with the youngsters where we're going to cover Cigar Box with cool pictures.
Oh, fun.
On Saturday morning at 10 o'clock.
I'll be there, man. I'll be there.
Good. Awesome. Come on,
brother. Thanks for calling, man.
Okay, dude. We'll talk more. Thanks, Mike. Keep plugging. Bye.
Oh, who's on the phone, man? Nobody? Oh, we're going to break. I feel nice, a sugar and spice.
MadisonTalks.com is the home of Madison's most creative talk radio. If you have a serious gift of gab, you have stories to share, political, social, or religious positions to express, contact Madison Talks to have your own 60-minute weekly podcast recorded and posted for the world to hear. Have a new book to promote? Madison Talks is the ideal place to promote it. Fly solo or line up guests for your weekly live talk session. When your 60-minute program is finished live streaming, it'll be posted as a podcast to MadisonTalks.com for listening 24/7. Take your message to the world with MadisonTalks.com. Call 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. That's 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. MadisonTalks.com, looking for your creative commentary. You're listening to MadisonTalks.com, stimulating conversation on a variety of subjects and issues that matter. Share your questions, comments, or answers with us at 608-210-1667. Now here's your host on MadisonTalks.com.
shook hands. Pearly teeth there. And he showed them pearly white. Oh, this is good. Tony Bennett, man.
No, I don't mean it.
And Lady Gaga. Do you know that Tony sang that that same exact song with Ella Fitzgerald probably 40, 50 years ago? And he's got Lady Gaga doing it now. And I'm telling you, those two are pretty dynamic. I don't know if you're a fan of those records that Tony and Lady Gaga do. You have to be, you know, kind of a jazz standards fan to appreciate it. And I am, I mean, I'm a jazz fan, not even standard jazz, but those two are a pretty good match, and I earned new respect for Lady Gaga through those records. All right, so anyway, if nobody else has called in request something, so let me do... I got a couple requests. Had to be you. It had to be you. I wandered around and finally found that somebody who could make me be true, could make me be blue. And even be glad just to be sad thinking of you. Some others I've seen might never be me, might never be cross or try to be boss, but they wouldn't do. For nobody else gave me a thrill. With all your faults, I love you still. It had to be you, wonderful you. It had to be you. It had to be you, wonderful you. It had to be. Here's a very special song from my hippie days. Yes, I was a hippie. People smile and tell me I'm the lucky one. We've just begun. Think I'm gonna have a son. He will be like you and me, as free as a dove, conceived in love. Sun is gonna shine above. In love, we ain't got money. I'm so in love with you, honey, and everything. Bring a change of love. In the morning when I rise, bring a tear of joy to my eyes and tell me everything gonna be alright. Pisces, Virgo, rising is a very good sign. Strong and kind, and the little boy is mine. Now I see a family where there once was none. Gonna fly to the sun, we've just begun. Even though we ain't got money, I'm so in love with you, honey, and everything. Bring a change of love. In the morning when I rise, bring a tear of joy to my eyes and tell me everything
of the girl who holds the world in a paper cup. Drink it up. Love her, then she'll bring you love. And if you find she helps your mind, better take her home. Boy, don't you live alone. Try to earn what love is on. Even though we ain't got money, I'm so in love with you, honey, and everything bring a change of love. In the morning when I rise, bring a tear of joy to my eyes and tell me everything gonna be alright.
That's a song written by Kenny Loggins, Loggins and Messina, and it's called Danny's Song because back in 1970 or 69 when he wrote it, it was a hit in 70, 71 kind of, but he didn't have any money to give his brother Danny a birthday present, and so he wrote him that song as his birthday present for free. I think this is the one Karen wanted. She didn't say anything on the phone, huh? It goes like this. We only got a few more minutes, so if I'm playing and he cuts me off, thanks for listening. Thanks for calling in. Brian Beebe, we'll see you next week on Madison Talks. Bye. Lies a million miles away from me, I couldn't see how I adored you. So close and yet so far. Carried your books from school, playing make-believe you married to me. You were fifth grade, I was sixth when we came to be. Walking home every day, over Bonnet Bridge and Bay. We grew into the me and you, went our separate ways. My eyes adored you, though I never laid a hand on you. My eyes adored you. Love's a million miles away from me, you couldn't see how I adored you. So close and yet so city lights, climbed a ladder up to fortune and fame. Worked my fingers to the bone, made myself a name. Funny, I seem to find that no matter how the years unwind, still I reminisce about the girl I miss and the love I left behind. Me. Couldn't see how I adored you. So close and yet so far. Thanks, everybody. See you next week.